Well, good morning. Pastor Matt Walters with the Faith Bible Baptist Church right here in Greeley, coming to you once again this Sunday. And I typically begin by giving a little bit of information on church and the possibility of reopening. And at least at the time of this recording, once again, there's a lack of clear direction from our governor concerning churches. Now, I know this is frustrating, and there's probably some of you that are sitting there saying, I'm ready to get back to church. There are others thinking I would rather wait. And there are people that I know if they could, they would ask me, what do you think about this? And here's been my approach to it. I, and any true man of God, any true church, I think would say it like this. We strive to really show our communities that we care. Our church has done different outreaches to different groups, and we do that to let people know that we're here, we're thinking about you, we're praying for you. We do outreaches for children, vacation Bible schools. What is it that we want people when they drop off their kids and they don't know us? What do we want them to know? That this is a safe place, that you will be protected here. And so I've really begun to look at it in that light and aspect that if it means two more weeks, beginning of June, so that science maybe can get a grasp on this, and without a doubt, science is all over the place. And the funny thing is, they keep telling us to trust in the science, and I keep saying, what science? You know, what doctor? At what point? And so I share the frustration that many of you are feeling, but I think if we can all come together under the common cause of caring, folks, I know people that have truly been affected by COVID-19. We've got folks in our church that have lost loved ones that they cared for deeply. A little over a week ago, I lost a preacher friend down in New Mexico, and so we don't understand this. We question how contagious it is. I get all of that, but out of respect for those that have been affected, out of respect for a church, its testimony, just keep checking in week by week with our website, and when that day comes, we'll definitely let Greeley know. Now let's get back to our Bible study. And this is what we're here for truly this morning. And I told you last week we started Colossians chapter 3. And I told you that that was nothing more than another study that I've already done for my church. In fact, when we did 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and probably had 4 or 5 different weeks of looking at that passage of Scripture, I was just trying to give you an insight to who is Faith Bible Baptist Church and what is Pastor Matt Walters like and all about. And so that's all I was doing, is trying to give you an insight of what goes on inside those four walls, in case you're maybe thinking of joining a church, looking for a church, or even just thinking of dropping in to visit us at some point. And we'd love to have you. We love guests. In fact, one of the hard things that will be true for our church, I think we've got an overly friendly group of people, shaking hands, hugging, talking, and it's going to be difficult because when we get back, without a doubt, at least initially, that cannot continue. And so when we started the study last week out of Colossians 3, I told you this was the first study I gave to my church during quarantine. And in fact, if you want to watch that video, you can go to YouTube, type in Faith Bible Baptist Church of Greeley, Colorado. That'll take you to our YouTube channel, and all of our quarantine Sunday morning messages are up and available there. And so if you've heard part of this, because I've only got 30 minutes, and with some of the kind of pre-announcements and things, it gets tough to give this in a more thorough sense. So you can go at any message, go back and listen to it in a little bit fuller sense. But last week we were talking about Christians who don't feel close to God. And I've used the terminology, that disconnected feeling. And folks, I got a good response from my church the very Sunday that I taught this. People texting me, emailing me, folks even in weeks to come responding to this. Because if we'll set our self-righteousness aside, and that gets in the way all too often of us truly getting things right with God, we've all been there. I, as a preacher, there have been times, if you were to ask me, have there been moments, seasons in your life, periods where you've not felt close to God? Absolutely yes. I'd be lying to say otherwise. And so this becomes a relative topic. Now, last week we talked about three things very quickly: the regard, the reminder, and the return. And I told you that in verse number 2, Paul said very clearly, set your affection on things above. And he's just simply telling us, Christ has got to be the number one priority in your life and mine. He's not teaching us that it's wrong to have hobbies that we love. And sometimes people misunderstand. And I think that's where they think church is mundane and they don't want you to have any fun. That's the farthest thing from the truth. I'm an avid hunter and sportsman, and I love to bow hunt. But I understand when I read Colossians 3:2 that Christ is to be a priority even over bow hunting for me. I love to shoot guns. I'm a member of Front Range Gun Club over in Loveland. Folks, I love that. It's a part of my upbringing and who I am. And but once again, when I read the Word of God, at no place can a sport, can a hobby, can recreation ever take the priority over the Lord Jesus. I believe I said, and it might have been on the radio, it might have been on a Facebook Live, I've kind of lost track of some things I've said, but I do believe that probably Christians' greatest disappointment through quarantine has been the sports realm. And while everybody seems to love a good sport, football, basketball, baseball, folks, church and Jesus Christ should have been a priority all along. And so this is a good time to reevaluate as we're coming out of quarantine. What position does Christ have in my life? What role does he play? Then we talked about the reminder. He said, you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And that's just a reminder that we belong to the Lord Jesus. And Paul said in Romans 12 that we are a living sacrifice, and that is metaphoric language. It's not literal. But when we think of our life, we have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. We belong to him. And folks, that's why we should run everything through him that we do. He's a priority. He is in charge, or should be, within our lives. And then I ended, and hopefully if you listened to this last week, it came as good news, because the Bible says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And I know that there's different approaches to what we call eschatology, the thought of the tribulation, the rapture. Is it pre-trib, mid-trib? And I want you to set all of that aside, because one thing that all of those groups can, should be able to indefinitely say, Christ is coming back. And so folks, focus in on that. Now, when I read that, that's a reminder. And I do believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, if you're wondering, and would be glad to sit and talk to you, show you scriptural thoughts on that. I love to talk about anything. I don't raise my voice. In fact, I've talked many subjects, some things I don't even agree with, but I want to know more about God's Word. And so that's exciting news. It should be. And I want to remind you prophetically, it's got to get worse before it gets better. And I don't say that to mortify your day and your spirit and walk around mundane. That's just a biblical truth. The man of sin, the Antichrist, is coming. And folks, Christ is going to return. And that's how we need to live, with really every day that my Lord is coming sooner than later for his children. Now, what I want to do this week is I want to pick up in verse number 5, and we want to talk about some things that Paul says to mortify, and then talk about some things that he says to put off. And so these are going to be very important for us, because if you don't feel close to God, something in these two lists, or actually there's three, because then there's things that we are to put on, Paul talks about right after that, there's going to be something that you can probably pinpoint to get your life straightened out. So let me read the verses, and then we'll talk about them. Paul says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, and then he gives us the list. Now, this first list really deals with unhealthy types of love, as we might refer to it. So he says, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And then he tells us why it's important to mortify and put those things to death. He said in verse 6, "For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." And so today, if I forget to mention, if you're thinking, well, why should I, you know, make the sacrifice to put these things to death in my life? These are things that the world often will tell you to live for and are only worth living for. Well, Paul said it this way, the wrath of God comes on people that do those things. Then he says in verse 7, and this is a good verse to remind every Christian to be patient with lost people. He says, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. And so Paul is reminding Christians, hey, you weren't born a child of God. There was a point you were lost. There was a point you were without Christ, and he's reminding them of that. And so that helps me to be a little bit patient. When I look at people, it's easy to look at lost people as some people live very immorally. They live, you know, unrestrained at times and to lose patience very quickly. But folks, they're doing things in spiritual ignorance. And then I incorporate verse number 7, and it helps me really to remember I was like that at one point in my life, spiritually ignorant, not serving God, being obedient to the flesh. And so all of us can relate to that in one form or another. Then Paul goes on and he talks about things to put off. He says, but now ye also put off these. And then he gives us the list, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. And then he says, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. And I would probably call this second list unholy types of hate or emotion. And folks, I do believe that today, if you feel disconnected from God, there's going to be something more than likely in one or both of these lists that needs to change. Now, let's look at what Paul said to mortify, and that is another way of saying to put to death. One of my commentaries said it like this, Paul is calling upon spiritual, and there's the key word, spiritual suicide. Okay, so keep that in perspective, and that's important. But Paul is literally saying spiritually, some things have got to die within all of us when we become children of God. And then he gives us the list. So the first word that he uses is the word fornication. Now, folks, I understand when I begin to teach on things like this, it can make folks uncomfortable, but I want to remind you that the same Paul, same Apostle Paul who penned this down, was the same man that encouraged us to study the Word of God and to do it very diligently. And so there are times we've got to do it professionally, but we want to be clear so that people do not get the meaning. So there's got to be a level of teaching on this. So the word basically means immorality in our day and age, in our vernacular. When someone says that someone's involved in fornication, often what they mean by that is sex outside of marriage. And so Paul says this has got to be put to death. Now I'm going to interject and say this, and I said this on my video to my church, that it is impossible to feel close to God, okay, to feel connected and be involved currently in sexual sins. Now, I know I've had people in my office that have wanted to debate that have wanted to argue that. I've had people that have told me they're closer to God than they've ever been and how they're following the Lord and what he's done for them. But folks, that is a biblical impossibility during times of sin like this. And so Paul says that fornication, sexual sin of any form, and it comes from the Greek word porneia, could include pornography. It's got to be put to death because nothing will distance your fellowship from God like sexual sin. And I want to remind you, people get confused over this. Why do we confess as Christians? I mean, they can, you know, understand that when we get saved, we confess to God and we let him know that we believe he's the Son of God. Some people then confess and want forgiveness of their sins. Well, when we get saved, we're confessing for salvation, the name of Jesus, and all that goes along with it. When we confess after salvation, we do so to reinstate fellowship. Okay? And so that's important. So when a person feels disconnected, and that's why I told you that plaque that my mother gave me really speaks to me, because it said, if you don't feel close to God, guess who moved? And folks, I hope that's an easy answer for you. It's not God. God has not went anywhere. The answer to that is us. And I know that that strips us of any scapegoat. We can't point a finger at God. There are times we want to point a finger to other people. But it comes down to this. We've made choices to situations in life and responded to them. And if we respond unbiblical to a situation, even though something may have happened to us and someone did something to us, folks, we have detached our own spiritual lives. And nothing's going to change until we deal with that. Okay? And so Paul says, mortify, put to death, fornication. He then uses the word uncleanness, and that comes with the idea of evil thoughts and evil intentions. And this probably leans to those thoughts that kind of come and go in your mind. You don't put them out of your mind. And I want to remind you, it's not the thought or the initial thought that is the temptation. It is what you do with that thought when it comes into your mind. And so people get confused there as well. And so I often illustrate when David was on the rooftop, and if he looked over and that was an accident of seeing Bathsheba naked, he did not need to start confessing to God at that moment, God, I seen a naked woman. The sin was when he dwelt on that. And so the Bible talks about those fiery darts, and this may help give you the victory. I think a lot of people are kind of strapped right there. Man, this thought came into my mind. Well, that is what the Bible refers to as the fiery darts of the wicked one. And so it's what you do with that thought when it enters your mind. Then he talks about two things, and they're really hard to separate. In fact, one of my commentaries points out that he believes that there have been things lost in the Greek language down through the years to help us truly distinguish these next two clearly. And so they are inordinate affection and evil concupiscence. Now, much like the word uncleanness, it takes that idea, but it is that longing sexual desire that creates evil thoughts and evil deeds. So I think the difference would be this, whereas uncleanness may be those momentary thoughts, inordinate affection and evil concupiscence is that unrestrained, longing, sexual desire that almost inevitably leads to someone acting out as a result of it. And so that's why the Bible tells us to guard our mind. And once again, our eyes are the gateway to the mind. And boy, how we have to be careful in this day and age. Summer comes in America, and folks, it truly is a challenge, whether you're a man or a woman, and the way people dress and the way people act. And Satan is always looking to pull good Christians down that way. And then Paul ends this first list by using the word covetousness, which means the desire for that which is forbidden. And often when we hear coveting, we think of wanting what our neighbor has. And it takes the same idea, but just attaching it to what I call the tenor of the passage, it is that which is forbidden sexually. And so Paul is very clear. And once again, he said in the next verse, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. And sometimes people say, give me one good reason why I should be obedient to the Bible. Well, folks, I don't think you want the wrath of God after you at all. I know that I don't. I think I said a few weeks ago in talking about pride, the Bible says in the book of James that God resisteth the proud. I don't want that. The word resist means to stand against, to fight against, to oppose the God of all eternity. And so, folks, for some of you, this may be it. This is why you no longer feel close to God. For others, you may be looking back and God has given you the victory and you rejoice. And then maybe there's some of, hey, this is where I believe my friend is. Then folks, take this and use it to help them. Because once again, it is impossible, a biblical impossibility, to walk hand in hand in sweet communion and fellowship with God and be involved in sexual sin. Then Paul begins to change his vernacular, the language in which he's talking. He doesn't use the word mortify, but rather he uses the word in verse 8, put off. And he begins by saying, but now ye also put off. Now I want you to understand that this is language very similar to changing one's clothes. And so the idea to illustrate this would be a man or a woman coming home from a hard day's work, and maybe what you do, it's not behind a desk, it's laborious work, hands. Maybe you're down on your knees, you come home, you're filthy, you're sweaty, and naturally, and I say that naturally, the first thing that you probably want to do, I know I would, is I want to hit the shower and get those clothes off and get washed up, get a new change of clothes so that I can truly begin to relax. And so when Paul says to put off and then talks about putting on, understand that is the mental imagery that he's probably thinking about. Another person taught on this, and it's just interesting and food for thought, but he pointed out in the early church that when someone was baptized, they were often given a new change of clothes. And so whether it was the thought of salvation and then following through obedience, believer's baptism, and maybe it was that early historical thought that Paul may have had in mind, we don't know, but the thought is still the same. And so now we've got to begin to assess, are there some things that truly need put off? Now, I don't have much more time. Let me get to this quickly and give you the list, because this begins to deal with negative emotions that we all can display. And I'm going to remind you, preacher told me years ago, he said, what you are under pressure is what you are. Because when Paul begins to talk about anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, sometimes we know we're guilty of those and we want to play it down of, well, I had a weak moment, or you caught me off guard. But I believe that what that preacher said was true, that what we are under pressure is what we are. And folks, we need to more closely be honest and examine our lives when maybe there are moments of anger that are uncontrolled areas of anger. I believe that every child of God should look to submit. And all of us as a human race understand what anger is. But it is a testimony destroyer and a disconnector from that sweet, intimate fellowship with God. So let me begin and just define these. I already talked about anger, and it means that really that deep down, that smoldering, resenting bitterness. And this is where people will say something like this, you know, every time I think about that person, I get mad. That is anger. But then he uses the word wrath. And this is important because the Bible will talk about the wrath of God, and Paul just did. That is what I call anger on the move. Interestingly enough, when the Greeks would try to describe wrath, they would talk about setting fire to straw as trying to illustrate it. And so living, and I'm presuming everyone listening to this lives in Colorado, we understand forest fires and dry seasons and how quickly trees and a forest can be burned up. And when the Greeks wanted to describe the word wrath, they would often do it with that idea of straw, and we can only imagine how quickly that would go up in flames. This is the person that has not dealt with anger scripturally. They've stewed over some things, and maybe things that someone has done to them, and maybe things that, you know, there is no denying. I've had people tell me that, preacher, you don't understand. This person did say this, and they did do that. And I'm not saying that they didn't, but folks, there's a godly way to approach things and an ungodly way, and that will determine if we feel close or disconnected to God. And so when anger is not given to God, and when we do not submit in the Spirit to what God is telling us, it is inevitable that that will begin to wrath, begin to build, turn into wrath, and explode. Now, when Paul uses the word malice, and this is great, it's kind of just the chronological order of how things build. Anger is that initial feeling. When I think about that person, I get mad. Wrath is letting it build. Now, malice is what comes out of the mouth. It is anger that is verbalized. And folks, I think all of us have had moments where we got angry. We were not in control of ourselves. We said something. And many people say, if I could go back and do over, they'll go to moments like that. I had a teacher in Bible college, and he said something that at the time I was 18, 19 years of age and had graduated early from high school. But he said he has gotten to an age when he was teaching us young men where he began to choose to be angry. Now, a young man, I didn't get anything from that. As I've gotten older, I understand he was talking about great restraint through the Holy Spirit of God. And folks, it is possible. If it anger is your issue, you can get it under control through the power and the help of the Holy Spirit. But then he talks about blasphemy. And often we use that word in relation to that which is spoken evil against God, but it is a word that we could use against mankind. And we've got to remember that man is created in the image of God, and all too often we let our tongues go on men and women and say things that we really scripturally have no business saying. But then Paul ends, or he doesn't end quite, he talks about filthy communication. That would be obscene talk, foolish jesting, could be bad stories, things, you know, just that they had no business in being stated. It could have been the truth. I've taught my church before. I think on our website, we still have that study up from 2019 of what should I say? That just because you know something about someone doesn't mean that you need to tell everyone else what you know. And the Bible says that love covers a multitude of sins. The Bible says, he that repeateth a matter separateth the very friends. And so without a doubt, there are times where just filthy, unwanted things that were wicked of the devil, whether it be the truth. And folks, I've been guilty of that too. And I know when I taught this, I told my church that I had to deal with some things with God. And I'd shared some information that another preacher told me, and I shared it in, you know, kind of the thought of other people need to know. And then the Holy Spirit reminded me, how do you know that? And I thought, well, I know because someone said that someone said. And I thought, that is never the biblical basis to spread things at all. And then Paul ends this list by saying, lie not. And this is an interesting thought. And I'm going to teach it like this. Sometimes people say, well, I don't lie. Well, what about that enemy? What about that person that you don't care for? Have you ever found something out about them that it really wasn't as bad as you wanted it to be? So then when you went to talk to someone else about them, you added a little bit more to it. It was kind of like the when we were children, we would sit in a circle, and I remember in kindergarten, and the teacher would whisper a word into the first child's ear, then the second child would repeat it, the third child, and there were, 20, 30 kids in a class back then, big classrooms. By the time it got around, it was the farthest thing from what the teacher had started with that statement. And really, that's how it works in life, isn't it? What we hear about people that sometimes we don't care for, it really isn't as bad as we want it to be. And so we just feel we've got to add something, maybe justifiably, it's got to be true. But folks, we don't know. And the Bible reminds us, with what judgment ye meet, ye shall be measured, it shall be measured to you again, and even more so. So I want to end the study this morning saying, if you don't feel close to God, maybe there's some things that truly need to be put to death with sexual sins. You know it. Maybe no one else knows it. Maybe there's some unwanted emotions. Preacher, I have bouts of anger. I've not dealt with it. It has become wrath. Unfortunately, it turned into malice. Things came out of my mouth. And folks, while I understand that even the Apostle Peter had things come out of his mouth, and that didn't mean that he didn't love the Lord, didn't mean that he, you know, wasn't a decent individual, but it did hurt his testimony, didn't it? You know, the Bible never records how bad it may have hurt Peter and his testimony and maybe the fallout from that. God forgave him, and God can forgive us. Now, I want to end the study, and next week we'll talk about things to put on, and this is where it gets good. Bowels of mercy, kindness, gentleness. And these lists are adequate because they help us to assess where that disconnected feeling came from. But let me end once again by saying, we're all about seeing people saved. And if you're listening to this and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, Folks, that's what salvation is. I've been reading the book of John, and I love that book. But as many as received him, talking about believe that he was Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the one who died. The Bible says he gave us power to become the sons of God. And I always end with that verse out of Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I want to remind you that if you've trusted Christ during this time through these studies, and you've prayed and asked him to come into your heart, and you're looking to him as your Lord and Savior, let us know. Call our church, 970-353-7635. Email us. You can do that through our website, but we want to rejoice with you. Well, God bless those of you that are listening. I look forward to next week, and we'll try to finish this study out.